In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is the lesson you have just heard. Unquestionably, light is very important to life as we know it here on earth. Deprived of it for any length of time, plants and animals will deteriorate and will soon die. The invention of the light bulb was one of the landmark events in the history of mankind. And much attention is paid to the lighting when a new building is under consideration. There's no denying it. Light is an extremely important phenomenon in our physical world. But if it's important here in the physical world, it is even more important in a spiritual realm. The text that is before us this morning talks about light. Oh, it's not a light that emanates from a candle or a light bulb or even the sun in the sky. For St. Paul is telling us in our text that the gospel is a light. Now, that's not a new concept to any of you. You've heard children sing songs like "This Little Gospel Light of Mine." And we've just come through the season of Epiphany when we have been reminded once again that Simeon had seen Jesus, the salvation, the light to lighten the Gentiles, as we will continue to sing in the words of the Nunc Dimittis. Our text approaches the subject of the gospel as light from two directions. First, the gospel is a light in that it indeed can be darkened or hid, as our text put it. But the gospel is also a light in that it is able to pierce through even the darkest gloom of sin. As important as light is to us, even the light of the sun, there are still some times when we want to block it out from ourselves. We purchase such things as sunglasses to keep the light out of our eyes. We might purchase blackout shades to hang in the windows of our bedroom to keep those early morning rays from waking us up just a bit too soon. Our text tells us that the light of the gospel can also be blacked out. One translation puts it that the gospel can be veiled, veiled to those who are perishing. For you see, it is the unbeliever who shuts out the rays of the gospel light and prevents them from benefiting him. It would be hard to imagine miners in the deep, dark bowels of the earth extinguishing their only light, wouldn't it? But that, in effect, is what the unbeliever does when he rejects the light of the gospel. Our text recalls for us the part that Satan plays in the darkening of this light. We read, "The god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." But don't be misunderstood. Don't be misled here. This does not give anyone an excuse, any sinner an excuse, any more than it gave Adam and Eve an excuse back there in the Garden of Eden. You remember when Adam tried to blame his sin on Eve and Eve tried to blame her sin on the serpent? Some of you sitting in front of me this morning may very well remember a time when you were an unbeliever. Perhaps you can remember a specific time when the gospel light shone upon you and you considered that light, or the cross of Christ, if you will, as foolishness. For isn't that what the sophisticated, unbelieving world thinks of this gospel light? But the god of this world can also veil the light of the gospel in the hearts of believers, too. When he tries to make them behave as unbelievers, when he tries to make them unwilling to see the light of the gospel. Perhaps you have sat in church listening to a sermon and heard the preacher talk about persons who do this kind of sin and that kind of sin, and you sit back smugly like the Pharisee in the temple and thank God that you are not like one of those. But the fact of the matter is, each of us needs to be aware of our sinfulness and our need to repent. And when Satan comes and veils our minds, he tries to blind us to that necessity. But the fact of the matter is, each and every one of us needs to see that gospel light. Even we as believers need to hear about it and be reminded that our Lord died on that cross to save us from our sins. We need to be reminded that we too have the opportunity to see the light of that gospel in word and sacrament. But it is not only us as believers who need to be reminded of that light, but also the unbelieving world. For the light of the gospel is able to pierce even the darkest gloom of sin. In fact, it is the only thing that can pierce that gloom. Our text tells us that God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's an important verse, not only because it's one of the verses in our text, but it is also the verse which has been chosen as the theme for our worship in this whole week of worship in Cramer Chapel. It also reminds us that just 2 days ago, we celebrated our Lord's transfiguration. We recall when he took three disciples, Peter and James and John, up to the mountain, and there revealed to them just a glimpse of the glory that is his as the image of God. When he, as Matthew records, when his face shone like the sun and his garments became as white as light. The Christian church has used light to symbolize God and his work among us ever since the creation of the world. St. Paul reminds us that at that time, God brought light into darkness. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God, you see, has a history of bringing light to our darkened world. Paul tells us how Christ has accomplished that, how he has illumined the world by bringing the light into it. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians tells us that when Moses was read in the temple, it was as if a veil were over the hearts of the listeners. For you see, they really didn't comprehend fully what they were listening to. But now, St. Paul tells us, Christ has come. And we as New Testament believers can appreciate the prophecies of the coming Messiah and see how they have been fulfilled in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, through the gospel, has truly brought light into our dark world. It's like a bright beacon shining out into the darkness. Perhaps you have seen the bright light of an airplane landing light as it pierces the darkness as the plane approaches the runway. We who are believers know that we are entering the Lenten season tomorrow, and we are able to see exactly how our Lord accomplished the bringing of light into a dark world. For paradoxically, as darkness covered the land during those 3 hours that our Lord hung between heaven and earth, the greatest glory there has ever been was being manifest. The brightest light that there has ever been was shining. This is the light that is shown in our hearts. This is the light that has turned the darkness of our sin into the brightness of forgiveness. And this is the same light that has brought all of us to this campus. Those of you who are professors have the privilege of preparing young men for the ministry. And those of us who are students have the privilege of being trained to go out and to enable that light to shine into the hearts of other people. Paul, too, considered it a privilege to have been chosen by God to be a bringer of this light to the people of his day. He remembered his dark past, but he also remembered that that light had shone in his heart. The gospel that he preached is the very same gospel that you and I proclaim. It's true, we will see people who see the light of that gospel and who continue to sit in their darkness, but it is also true that we will see people whose darkness has been dissipated by the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.